Love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. We have two children. Scott is 21. Our daughter is 26. She is married. Scott is not married. They're both working in Brother Jones's church in Houston. And I would like for my wife to come and introduce her and kind of let her get acquainted with you. And she's going to sing.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are so privileged to be here tonight, and I just love the spirit of worship that I feel in your midst. It's wonderful to see the work of the Lord that's being done right here in this city in Connecticut. You're part of the family of God. We're all part of the family, aren't we? I love family. I miss being with my own personal family. But there are many rewards in evangelizing because I get to be with many people that are in the family of God that otherwise I would not get to be with. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done for us. But you know, there are many things the Lord requires of us. It's not difficult to live for God. I'm one of those that believes that really it is not difficult to live for the Lord if you have your mind made up. I think that's where the difficulty comes in, when we are divided in our mind. But the Lord requires that we just give Him our all. He doesn't want us to withhold any part of ourselves. He wants us to give everything to Him. And I am trying to do that. I try to do it daily. It's not a one-time thing where we say, Lord, yes, to whatever you want me to do. But I think there are times in our lives that He leads us to do other things that we've not done before. And I want to be willing to give Him every part of me. If you haven't done that yet, I hope you'll make a decision to do that tonight. Worship the Lord with me as I sing. I will give you all. God spoke to Abraham and said, take your only son and offer as a sacrifice to the one you love. Lord, is there not some other sacrifice that I can bring? But if that's what you ask, dear Lord, I'll give you everything. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cost and be willing to say yes. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cost and be willing to say yes. Many times I said that I would give to you my all, but I withheld a secret part I thought that no one saw. But if you would ask of me to give the very thing that I love the best, give me the courage and the strength to be willing to say yes. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let and be willing to say yes. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Tremendous spirit here tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, I would like to read from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. The 9th chapter of Acts. And let's look at the 6th verse. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you for your power that we are feeling tonight. You are here in this service, God, in a mighty way. Thank you for this revival, God. Thank you for this church. We're trusting you and we're believing you, God. In the name above every name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You recall the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. What's interesting about Saul, who later became known as Paul, was that Saul really thought he was all right. He really thought he was living for God. If you had asked Saul that day, just before the Lord arrested him in such a unique way, Saul, do you love the Lord? He would have said, Amen. If you would have said, Saul, are you devoting your efforts and your time to the Lord? He would have said, Amen. In fact, I'm on my way to knock doors today. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going to try to find Christians and put him in jail, kill him. He loved God, but he hated Jesus. And that's interesting. He thought he was living for God, but he didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he said later. Touching the law, blameless. Now folks, when we refer to Saul, who later became Paul, we're not talking about a vile, wicked, debauched man who was immoral, who did not love God, and who knew nothing about the Word of God. He was a righteous man touching the law. He was a godly man as far as the Old Testament was concerned. But this didn't keep him from stoning Christians. This didn't keep him from hating Jesus. That's why when the God he was serving arrested him in such a way and challenged him and rebuked him and indicted him, he said, wait a minute here.
I thought I was serving you, God. Why are you treating me like this? What's going on? Maybe I better find out who you are. Maybe I don't really know who you are. Because I thought that I was working for you today and living for you with all of my heart. Who are you, Lord? And you remember, the Bible says, the Lord from heaven. This was a big L, Lord. This was Jehovah. This was Kurios. This was the one that made the universe. This is the big L. This is not the little L. The big L answered from heaven and said, I am Jesus. Now, I don't know if we really can get a hold of that tonight about how much that shocked that little Jew. Here you are serving God with all of your heart, and all of a sudden you find out your God is your worst enemy. Or your worst enemy is your God. This was a revolting day. It was a day in which all of his theology, not all, but much of it, just kind of went down the drain. Because see, what we think about God and what we know about God determines our relationship with God. That's why it's necessary for us to know who God is. It improves our relationship with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Then he says, well, Lord, what would you have me to do? In other words, I thought I knew you. I don't guess I know you. We better just start over. We better go to the basics. I mean, what do you want? I have letters of authority in my pocket to go to Damascus and to bind and to burn and to butcher and any other bad B words to the Christians. But Lord, maybe I better forget what I had in mind. Maybe I better forget my will. What would you have me to do? Oh, I like that. It doesn't say that Saul repented. It doesn't say that Saul said, oh God, forgive me of my sins. No. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I don't know if we know how powerful that is tonight. Oh, to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I've been doing it my way. My life has been going my way, God. I have been doing what I want to do, God, but from now on, I'd like to know, what do you want with my life, God? I want to give you a chance to take my life and shape it according to your will. What do you want with my life, God? What would you have me to do? See, this is true repentance. This is true repentance. You don't have to say, I repent. But when you say, God, what would you have me to do? I'm stopping right now, God, what I've been doing. I'm tired of what I've been doing, God. What I've been doing hasn't been getting the job done, Lord. What I've been doing hasn't solved it for me, God. But what would you have me to do? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't really mean, and I don't really mean to get in on another little subject here, but let me just kind of introduce something as we pass it quickly or touch it lightly. He was told by the Lord when he said, what would you have me to do, Lord? The Lord didn't say, you need to do this and you need to do that and step one of salvation and step two of salvation. He didn't do that. He said, arise and go into the city. And it shall be told thee what thou oughtest to do. Brother Rutledge, I like that. God did not tell him what to do. See, there are some folks who say, God will tell me what I'm supposed to do. God, I follow God. I don't follow man. I don't need a church. I don't need a man. I follow God. I serve God. That sounds good. It sounds impressive, but it won't work. Because even God answered from in heaven and said in so many words, I'm not going to tell you what you're supposed to do. But I got a man that'll tell you. Right. Hallelujah. The Lord's got a man here that'll help you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You go into the city. And you will be told what you're supposed to do. God uses the ministry. And the ministry uses the word and the spirit and the direction of the Lord. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Saul really repented. That was really repentance. When he made up his mind, listen, I got to go your way, God. I got to do what you want. Tonight, I don't know if we could talk about anything more appropriate than saying, God, what would you have me to do? You say, preacher, that's great. But what about some of us who already have been living for the Lord and we've already given our lives to God? You're going to preach a little bit to us tonight. You know what? I really think sometimes we forget that surrendering is something that we don't just do the first time we come to the Lord, but it's something you got to do every day of your walk with God. Every day you've got to surrender to him. Every day. Every day. You got to give up. Every day you got to say, Lord, I give you all. Take everything, Lord. I offer everything to you, Lord. Because we have a tendency to take back stuff. You know, we want to, this is mine. We got to say, Lord, I forgot. It's yours. My time, my life, my goals, my ambitions, my friends, my clothes, my cars, my house, my job, everything, God, is yours. And when I start to take some of that back and claim it, God, Lord, I'm not my own. I'm bought with the price. I'm yours. I belong to me. I surrender, God. In fact, revival is really when we totally surrender. God begins to move when we really put everything on the altar again. When we rededicate, reconsecrate. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Surrendering to God is so vital. We Oneness Pentecostals are so gung-ho about wanting to hurry. And now listen carefully. Don't misunderstand me here. We are so gung-ho about wanting to hurry and get the water baptism in Jesus' name. And I love it. We want to hurry and get to the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues and oneness and all those beautiful truths. Sometimes we rush over what I feel to be, and listen again very carefully, what I feel to be perhaps the most important step of salvation. Why? Because if you don't repent, your baptism's going to be in vain. Whether you're baptized in Jesus' name or whatever, it's in vain. You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is not going to come into your life unless you first repent. Unless you first surrender. Surrendering is basic. Sometimes we all, in our haste and our enthusiasm to witness to folks, we want to hurry and get on to water baptism. We want to hurry and get on to these beautiful truths. But really what we ought to do meeting people on the street is to be sure they know something about Jesus. And to be sure, have you really given everything to God? And if you haven't, let's give everything to Jesus. You see, everybody can generally agree on that. Amen. And that's primary. That's basic. You say, yeah, but what about all those other beautiful truths? I really believe that when we totally surrender to God, everything else will take place in the proper order. Everything else is not that difficult. What is such a great step for us and such a great hurdle is putting our all on the altar and saying, God, what would you have me to do?
It was no big thing when he got in there and had totally repented and surrendered to the Lord and said, what do you want me to do? When Ananias told him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away thy sins. When he told him all of that, that was just following what he had already decided that he would do relative to whatever God wanted him to do. It was not difficult then. A lot of folks, when they repent, when they surrender, when they say yes to God, they feel so much better that they really feel like they don't need to do anything else. Friend, tonight, if you want to give your life to God, if you are here wanting to surrender to Jesus, when you give your life to God and surrender completely to Him, when you say, God, I offer my all to you, it's going to be beautiful. There's going to be a great release. You're going to feel a heavy load lifted. But actually, that is just the beginning of a walk with God. A walk with God. For example, if you're on the wrong road, or if you're on the right road, going the wrong direction. A lot of times we say the wrong road, but in a sense, everybody's on the right road. They're just going the wrong way. The word repent means to turn around. In fact, soul winners, I might just drop a little point. Is that all right? Instead of telling folks, you're on the wrong road, dude. You're on the wrong road, bud. Listen, man, you're all messed up. You're lost. You got to get on the right road. Tell them, look, you're on the right road. You're just going the wrong way. You just need to turn around. We followed 95 up here we followed 85 from Marietta, just south of Richmond, Virginia, and then hit 95. But if you were on the wrong end of 95, you'd wind up in Miami, Florida, instead of what? Bangor, Maine, or wherever? You would wind. Now, what if you were pulling into Miami, going south, and you'd say, boy, I tell you, for several days, something just keeps telling me something's wrong. And then finally you see Miami city limits. Boy, I knew there was something wrong. I'm on the wrong end of this. I meant to go to Maine. So you turn around. You turn the car around. Now what if you'd pull over on the side of the road and say, well, this is it. Kill your engine and just sit there. No, sir. You have turned around, but you haven't gone anywhere. You're still in Florida.
Amen.
Amen. Repentance is when you turn around. Repentance is you're going the wrong way. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see what you got to look at? You got to look, where's this road lead? You don't say, well, I'm on 95. That's the right road. Where does it lead? If you want to go north and you're going south, you got to look at where that road's going to lead. So when you repent means to turn around. Oh, I'm on the right road, yes, but I'm going the right direction. I'm headed for glory. Going to stop? No. The Bible says we shall know if we follow on to know. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in thy light shall we see light. In his light, we see more light. When we know him, we follow on and know him more. The Bible says the path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You got to keep going. Hallelujah. You can't stop anywhere. You can't say, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I got the Holy Ghost. I talked in tongues. I believe oneness of the Godhead. No, now I've made it. No, nobody's made it. He that shall endure, he that shall keep going until the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget an old preacher many years ago when I first started preaching in Oklahoma.
He told me, he said, Bobby, let me give you a little piece of advice. He said, keep your nose and your toes in the same direction. Well, I kind of laughed. I thought that sounded pretty homespun, you know, until I read it in the Bible. Well, not exactly like that, but Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom.
Right.
Why? Because your toes are headed toward heaven, but your nose is looking back in the world. Folks, this is deep theology tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got to keep our nose and our toes in the same direction. Once you turn around, you quit looking at the world. You quit fooling with the world. Keep being interested in what's going on. Stop being interested in what's going on back there. You're headed for heaven. Glory, glory. All right, now, let's keep going a little bit. When you turn around, repentance. Somebody says, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. But many times, the person that has repented says, oh, I have said goodbye to sin. You don't understand. I'm through with the world. I'm through with sin. I don't need to be baptized. I feel great. What they don't understand is that you say goodbye to your sins in repentance. But in water baptism, Jesus says goodbye to your sins. Hallelujah. When you repent, you're through with your sins. But when you're baptized in Jesus' name, God gets through with your sins. Hallelujah, because he washes them away. Hallelujah. Repentance makes you feel better. Water baptism makes God feel better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then, of course, the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to talk to you just in the closing minutes here about really surrendering. Repentance, then, is surrendering. Surrendering is saying, God, not my will, but thine be done. What would you have me to do? Have you noticed that when we pray, we raise our hands? We use the universal sign of surrender. Now somebody says, why do you all raise your hands like that? Why put up your hands in the air like that? Well, look, everybody all over the world, when they get arrested, they put up their hands. That's a sign of surrender. I give up. Have you ever wondered why the universal sign of surrender is not this? I mean, you just stole a stereo from the neighbor's house at midnight while they're gone on the 4th of July vacation, and the police shines his flashlight on you just as you go across the backyard fence, and he says, halt! And he runs back there and he says, stick him up! What if you went, boom! Now why did they choose this for the universal sign of surrender? Why not something else? They wanted you to get your hands as far from your pocket knife as you possibly could. They wanted your hands as far from your gun as you could possibly get them. They wanted your hands away from anything that could be used against them. You see, when we surrender to God, we're saying, God, I take my hands away from anything that could be used against you. Hallelujah. What does that mean? God took my job. God took my family. God took my wife. God took my husband. God took my car. Things haven't gone well with me. God's not treated me right. God's not had been fair to me. Oh, a lot of bitterness is down in our hearts if we're not careful. And what we do, we hold that against God. It's just like pulling a gun on God, a knife, and saying, God, you've hurt me. Now I'm going to hurt you. I want to get even with you. No, no, no. When you raise your hands, when you surrender, you say, God, I'm not going to hold anything against you. I don't pull out anything that I can use. I'm not going to pull anything out of the past. I'm not going to pull anything out of anywhere, God, that I can use against you, because God, you know best. What would you have me to do, God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Also, there are a lot of things that can be said about the raised hands. For one thing, the Bible commands it. The Bible tells us to raise our hands, but there is a reason for all of that. It's a sign of surrender to God. The Bible says, lift up your heart with your hands. It's just like elevating your heart when you lift your hands. Also, you're exposing the vulnerable parts of your body. Now, what does that mean? Have you noticed that when something sharp is coming towards you, or something, you know, you're at work and one of your associates, one of the employees, they get irritated, so they pick up a wrench and throw it at you, or whatever. Have you noticed that you always shield? Without a hand, you wouldn't want to, but you can't do without the head. Amen. This is simple, folks, but I'm showing you something here, hopefully. When we take our hands and shield our body like a boxer, what if a boxer went out there like this? What if he got his elbows up there to box? Pretty soon somebody's going to land a blow right there, and that's it. But that boxer keeps his elbows down. He's protecting. He's shielding his body. He's warding off blows with his arms and his hands, and he's protecting his body. You see, when we raise our hands to God, we're saying, God, I am vulnerable to you, God. I hold nothing back. You can do anything you want to with my life. I'm exposing my heart to you, God. I'm exposing my mind, my head to you, my eyes. I'm exposing my whole body and life to you, God. Here I am. I'm helpless before you. I'm your servant. I give up. Oh, Jesus. I really believe, Brother Rutledge, there are people that have lived for God for many years who have never really, besides the initial giving up, they have not really continued to surrender and to give up their life to God. I might mention one more thing here. Notice what happens when those hands are up. When those hands are lifted, not only does it signify I surrender, but watch. The Bible says that he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Pour, that implies liquid, doesn't it? The Holy Ghost has poured out. It's the living water. So when you have your hands up, that forms a funnel. I surrender, God. Look what's at the bottom of the funnel. No wonder it says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. There it is. You repent, you surrender, you give up to God. You're baptized in his name. Oh, here I am, God. Even before you're baptized in Jesus' name, will not Jesus fill you with his spirit? Glory. Open your mouth wide. Bring that funnel. Hallelujah. Direct that funnel right in. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Let's stand and love Jesus. Why don't we just lift our hands and surrender completely to him? God, we give everything to you. We surrender to you, God. We offer everything, God. Here's our lives, our ambitions, our goals, our dreams, Lord. Everything, God, we give to you. Hallelujah. What would you have us to do, God? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory.